You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
We're going to come around part two of According to His Will, where we're talking about God is a healing God. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Well, I'm going to bring you salutations from Paul. The Holy Spirit led me to this last night, and I thought I'm going to bring you Paul's salutation to us this morning. From Paul, Galatians 1 says, an apostle, not from men, nor by human agency, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brothers with me to the churches of Gateway and Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And the church said, amen, according to his will. Paul was on the money with that one. So according to his will, as we come around his word today, I want to welcome you. If you're joining us online, I'm so glad that you could be with us this morning as we come around the word of God. Well, let's start with Romans 8:26. Do you love the book of Romans, church? And the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our teacher, our counselor, our friend. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us. He teaches us. He guides us in our weaknesses, our sufferings, our ailments. God is the one who comes alongside of us through the Holy Spirit. I love what he says here. For example, when we don't know what God wants us to pray for. How many of you have been in that spot before where the weakness is so strong, the affliction is so great upon your body or your mind or your emotions, and you're saying, God, I just don't know what to pray at this point. And the Holy Spirit says, it's okay, because when you don't know what to pray, I do this morning. And the Holy Spirit, he prays through us with groanings that we cannot even understand. His groanings that cannot be even expressed in words, because he's speaking a supernatural language through our weaknesses. Why? To take authority over them when we don't have the strength to do it. And the word helpeth, Greek, I'm not even going to even say that word because it's going to be impossible, but it starts with an S. But in the helpeth, the Greek means to give assistance. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside of you. He resides within you. And he gives assistance with full initiative. Not a quarter initiative. With full initiative, because closely identified, he's supplying help that exactly, to the most minute detail, corresponds to your need. Can I hear an amen this morning? We're not doing this journey by ourselves, my friends. We're doing this with the help, the supplying help that corresponds to your need through the relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when your need is given, he will not let you go. He will seize you. He will take a hold of that weakness, and he lays a hold of it, and he apprehends it all. And to every bit of supply that is needed comes your way. You know, there was this moment a couple of weeks ago when there was this incredible attack of the enemy that came to my life. Incredible words of accusation that the enemy was saying over me and trying to penetrate like seed and take root into my heart and my spirit. Words of accusation that was trying to cause weakness and affliction to my emotions and to my soul. And in that moment, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Speak in tongues." When that heaviness is so great, when weakness is starting to enter into your heart from the enemy, speak in tongues. When you don't know what to pray, when you don't know how to lift that heaviness off of your life that we experience many times, when you don't know what to do, let the Holy Spirit pray through you. And so I started to speak in tongues, and it literally felt like I had gum boots on and I was trudging through sticky, heavy mud that I just couldn't hardly lift my feet out of. And even when I was speaking in tongues, it was like my speech was really sluggish and really slow as I was trying to speak in tongues in that heavenly language. And I said to the Holy Spirit, why does it feel like I'm stuck in mud? Why does it feel like my feet want to get stuck like concrete? And the Holy Spirit said this to me, it's because it's warfare. The enemy is trying to make accusations and sow seed, and that seed he wants to penetrate into your heart so it takes root and it bears his fruit, where you believe his lies and you take on his accusations. And when I do that, it'll cause weakness, and that's what the enemy wants. But that's not the power of the Holy Spirit and the life he's called you to. He's called you to live a life of freedom. And so I kept speaking in tongues, and all that while the Holy Spirit was praying and taking authority over that weakness down to the most minute detail. Do you know it says that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he is so accurate, he gets down to the most minute detail how to lift that suffering and how to lift that weakness out. That's the power of speaking in tongues, and that's why the enemy doesn't want you to do it. Because it's so powerful in your life. When you don't know what to pray, he does. Amen? He was capturing every seed, every fiery dart, while he was ministering comfort and strength and might into my spirit. 1 John says this, for this purpose, the Son of God was revealed to destroy the works of the enemy. For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came to this earth. Why? To destroy the works, the accusations, the lies, the weakness, the suffering of the enemy that he were trying to bring fiery darts into your spirit and weigh you down. But when the Holy Spirit starts praying with you, his might and his power works on the inside of you, and you become free because you're not doing it by yourself. Amen. Ephesians says this in chapter 6, and in all of this, by taking up the shield of faith. Faith. God, I believe your words that you want freedom for my life. So I'm going to cling to the promise and the truth of your word, your shield of faith that I take up, which you can extinguish. Look at this, when you believe God, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Hey, this is freedom, guys. Church, this is freedom that God is promising you today. I'm excited because I want freedom in my life. I don't want to be left with accusations, and I don't want to be left with weakness. I want to walk in the spirit and the might and the power of the Lord. Is that your prayer today? Amen. 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 2 Corinthians, I love the word this morning. We demolish. We, notice it's we, it's not I. We demolish the Holy Spirit as I come in relationship with him. We demolish arguments and every pretension, every obstacle that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, not by myself, not in my own strength, but in the might and the power of the Holy Spirit, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to the truth, who is Jesus Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, my friends. He sets information free. And what the Holy Spirit does is so much greater than empathy. And I've said this before, but it just has so much power in it. When you're in a ditch of weakness, when you find that there is suffering or disease in your life, when your soul is being harassed and you find yourself, you're in that dark pit, empathy comes to you and says, hey, let me sit with you for a moment. Let me tell you that, hey, I don't understand what you're going through, but I love you and I'm just going to sit with you. The Holy Spirit goes beyond what empathy, beyond what this world can do, beyond what information can bring. And he brings truth. The Holy Spirit goes into that pit, into that weakness, into that sickness, and he pulls you by the hand with the truth, and he sets you free, and he puts you on your feet again on solid ground. That is more than information. That is the power, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, that you don't have to stay in your weakness. Can I hear an amen this morning? Psalm 26:12 says, now I stand on solid ground. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you go beyond sitting with me in the pit and you pull me out to my feet. I stand on solid ground and publicly I now praise the Lord. You know, the truth is we have lots of information. Information that desperately wants to be processed in our emotions, our own experiences, our own perception. But there's got to be a point that may be where you start, but as a Christian, it's not where you finish. Let the Holy Spirit counsel you. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Don't stay at information. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He takes you by the hand, and as you receive his hand, guess where he takes you? Straight to Jesus, who is Jesus, all truth. And when you know the truth, what does it say? It will set you free. It's not enough just to have information. I believe every single one of us, our hearts are crying out for more than information. We want the truth of Jesus Christ. John says it like this in chapter 8, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. John 8:16, but if I judge, this is Jesus, but if I judge, my evaluation is accurate. Because I'm not alone when I judge, but I and the Father who sent me do so together. You know, this is not superficial knowledge. This is not general knowledge, but this is knowledge which knows all the facts, even the hidden facts. For only God has that knowledge, and he wants to pass and make you receive that truth for yourself. I love the book of John, John chapter 8, verse 32. For if you embrace the truth, God, I take you by the hand. God, you're giving me an instruction to speak in tongues. God, I'm going to embrace your instruction because your instruction is truth and freedom to my life. For if you embrace the truth, it will release a greater freedom into your lives. Are you looking for a greater freedom in your life this morning? Are you looking for a greater freedom in your marriage this morning, in the lives of your children this morning, in your workplace, friends this morning? Are you looking for a greater truth that can be released not only in your life, but as you speak the word of God, it transfers into their life, releasing more freedom? You know, the Spirit, he takes hold against our sicknesses together. And we need to take a hold together with the Holy Spirit. I think it's absolutely incredible that Jesus sent the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to us, that we never have to be alone on this journey on earth. I don't walk my marriage alone. I don't walk my family alone. I don't walk my parenting alone. I walk it with the power and the help that comes from the person of the Holy Spirit. And we need to take hold together with him. While it is the work of the Spirit to keep making life in our bodies, he asks us to take a hold together with him. Go on the journey with him, my friends. Go on that journey of teaching, of comfort, of counseling with the person of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Because this is all about relationship with him. The privilege, the honor, the love of having the relationship of God that we get to walk with him. Because that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Are we happy with just information? Are we happy with the enemy attacking our body? Are we happy with the enemy attacking our families? Are we happy with the enemy attacking our marriages, our city? Are we happy with the enemy attacking? Because the attacks are coming from the enemy, but for this purpose. The Son of God was revealed. What? To destroy the works of the devil. Why? To release more freedom into your lives. Acts 10:38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And I love that as Luke, the writer of Acts, he's writing about and he's emphasizing the humanity of Jesus. Jesus from Nazareth. Jesus was anointed by God, but it was his humanity that needed God's anointing. Not his spirit, but his humanity. You see, if we saw God on earth right now, if God came and walked the earth and we could see him, see miracles and signs of wonders and see him going over and touching the lame and suddenly they walked and touching deaf ears and ears were open. If God was to walk the earth, you would sit back and you would go, that's amazing. That's just so amazing what you're doing and you're God and you can do that, but you're God and I'm just human. I don't think I can do that because you're God, the creator of the universe. But when we see Jesus, when we see Jesus as a human, Jesus from Nazareth, Jesus in his humanity, performing signs and wonders as a human being and spirit anointed, but yielded, surrendered to God, then we can sit back and say, if Jesus can do it, then I can do it too. Because Jesus' life calls me, it summons me to live differently. If Jesus can do it, so can you. If Jesus can see blind eyes open, so can we, because we are his church. We have the same spirit. Our spirits are anointed by God, but as we yield our humanity to him, God can use us to see the same works performed as what Jesus did when he walked the earth. Why? Because people need his healing power. Our city needs his healing power. Your children need his healing power. Your marriages need his healing power today. And it's right here today. Because Hebrews tells us this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Say this with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You know, the Father, he would reveal what he was doing in the humanity of Jesus. And Jesus did the impossible and made it possible for all of us as his church. Go and do the same. Isn't that what Jesus says to us this morning? Go and do the same. I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Go and do the same. Greater works that you shall do than what he did when he walked the earth. Go and do the same. John 16 says this, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you. He will lead you. He will comfort you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but will speak whatever he hears and will tell you what is to come. Let me read that again. But will speak whatever he hears and he will tell you what is to come. Do you believe that God wants to speak vision into your lives? Truth that you don't even know about yet. He will glorify me, it says, because he will receive from me what is mine. And he's going to tell it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what is mine and will tell it to you. So these are these moments that God says, come and spend time with me. I'm calling you. I'm summoning your heart and your spirit. Give me your time. Join with me because there are things, there are truths that I must reveal into your spirit. Not as just what's happening in the present, but what is to come. I want to speak to you about your children. I want to speak to you about your marriage. I want to speak to you about your workplace. I want to speak to you about the healings that need to take place. And I want to use you. You're the church. You're the church. Come on, amen. I've got a lot of might and power in here. You've got to join with me this morning. Otherwise, it'll all be me. John 12 says, for I have not spoken from my own authority, but the Father himself who sent me has commanded me what I should say and what I should speak. John 8, then Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak just what the Father taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone because I always do those things that please him. You will never be left alone. This is not works. This is grace. But when you come with him, it pleases him because he wants to speak and reveal truth into your life. So Jesus answered them, I tell you the solemn truth, John 5, the Son can do nothing on his own initiative, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Here's the truth, church. You can hear what the Father is saying. You're not going out on your own initiative or your own authority when you come with a word from God. You can come with the actual words of God. You can see what's in the hearts. You can see the ailments on people's lives. And when you come up to that person who's sick, it may not be obvious to anybody else, but it's been revealed to you by the Spirit of God. And you can come in and say, cancer, be gone in Jesus' name. That's the church. Who's the church this morning? Are you the church this morning? You have the ability to hear and see and know what the Spirit of God is revealing to you. And let me tell you, I want that. That's how I want to live my life, according to His will. And Jesus says again to us this morning, go and do the same. Go and do the same. Today, God has promised us healing. Do you believe that? Healed means to cure, to heal, to doctor you, to make you whole. And when there is sickness, it's so easy in that moment of sickness, you're completely weak without strength. It deprives somebody of enjoying or accomplishing what they would like to do in their life. And the emotional struggle and the emotional toll that can take on somebody's emotions who is sick. It's not just the physical, it's the emotional toll that happens. But God's power, church, has come to cure, to heal, to make you whole. And I believe from what I shared about last week that there are four major promises. There are so many promises in God. But there are four promises that God is speaking to His church about today that are for us to take a hold of and seize and to see freedom come into so many lives. And I believe the promise of His word for this year this morning is number one, He is the healer of your afflictions. Amen. He is the healer of your afflictions. Number two, He is the seer of the lost. He sees the lost, my friend. Number three, areas where there's disorder, God wants to set you free and bring life alignment into your life. And lastly, freedom for all, Jesus. I'm so glad that God sent you. There is freedom for all. Number one, He is the healer of our afflictions. Luke 9:37 says this incredible scripture. Now on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a large crowd met Him. And then a man from the crowd cried out, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child. A spirit seizes him and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions and it causes him to foam at the mouth. It hardly ever leaves him alone. Think about this. This is the Father telling Jesus, it hardly ever leaves him alone. The accusations, the afflictions of the enemy, it's not leaving my son alone. It's torturing him severely. And we see in this moment that the Father, He has so much information. He's just read Jesus all the information of all the sicknesses and the way His son is being attacked. But information is not enough for this Father. Is information enough for you today? Is information enough for you today? Because it's not enough for me when my child was sick. It's not enough for me. And you see this Father out of the crowd, out of the hundreds, people all around Him. And He cries out, Teacher, Jesus, I beg you, tell me what's going on with my son. I've got all the information, but what I need from you is truth. How can my son be healed? How can my son keep being tortured? I can't deal with this any longer because he's my only son. Jesus, would you just look at my son? Jesus, I just beg you. He moves from information. He has a cry of courage, but he's crying out for truth. For those who, because of the life of Jesus, summons you and calls you. You know, God would ask you this morning, do you want to move in this area like Jesus did? Do you want to see those who are afflicted, who need to be set free? Do you want to be the one that God reveals to you exactly with accuracy what needs to be prayed, what needs to be said, what needs to be done? Would you say to me this morning, I'm no longer content to stay in the boat anymore. Jesus' life is summoning me. Jesus' life is calling me. I can't stay in this boat of information when Jesus is calling me. So I've got to get up and I've got to get out of the boat. And if you're in this place today and you want to cry out for courage like that, Father, to Jesus, I want you to stand. I'm taking a risk doing this. Will you take a risk with me as the church today? Do you want to see people set free? Do you want to see the lame healed? Do you want to see the afflicted have freedom? Because I'm taking a risk. Nobody might stand, but I've got to get out of the boat for the sake of my family and my church and the city of Geelong. Because I love your families. I pray for your families and I want to see freedom. And maybe you're in this place today and you're saying, I'm the afflicted one. I'm the one who's being tormented. I'm the one that the enemy is coming against every day and I don't know what to do. So I'm going to stand and I'm going to respond and I'm going to be like that father and say, teacher, I need your truth. Tell me what to do. Father, I pray as hands are lifted all over this place. I pray for freedom. I pray that your truth sets us free today. You have called us to be the church and the church is what we will be. We will stand. Your life summons us and we are going to join you in the call of God for our families, for our marriages, for the city of Geelong, for the afflicted, for the oppressed, for the brokenhearted. We will stand and be the church, Father, and we declare freedom. Father, use your church to step out with your words and your ways, Father, in the way that you have called them to do it, so we can see lives set free. Father, you have called us to go. You have called us to do the same. And in Jesus' name, we are making a declaration today to not only be healed, but we are stepping out of the boat. Every opportunity to pray, we're going to pray first. There's so much information, but every opportunity to pray, we're going to pray first. Every opportunity there is to share the gospel, we're going to get out of the boat. The boat's not going to hold us any longer because your life is calling us and summoning us to a greater way of living because we are the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is an interactive message. Because we're the church and God is training us. We are his disciples. Verse 41, bring your son here, Jesus says to the father. As the boy was approaching, the demon threw him to the ground and shook him with convulsions. What arrogancy of the enemy. But Jesus rebuked that unclean spirit, healed the boy and gave him back to his father. Then they were all astonished at the mighty power of God. I declare that we're going to be astonished. I've already been astonished. You've already been astonished, but greater things are to come. And we are going to be astonished as the church when God releases his mighty power. Here was triumph. This was absolute triumph. A boy was given back to his father, whole and healed and full of peace of God. Here was triumph. Here Jesus mastered the work of the enemy and astonished the people. And in that very moment when they were ready to acclaim him, Jesus told them that he was on his way to die. It would have been so easy to take the way of popular success. It was Jesus' greatness that he rejected it and he chose the cross. He would not himself shirk the cross to which he called others. Not my will be done, but yours, God. Galatians 2:20, my favorite verse, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. In this life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself up for me. It's not my life. God, I'm going to listen. It's not my life. I'm going to see what you're showing me. God, it's not my life. I'm going to give you my life because I want to walk like Jesus did because you promised that I could. It's no longer my life. My will, my emotions, my time, it's yours. It's yours. I choose to come under the control of the Holy Spirit because there's too many afflictions walking around to ignore. Amen. Amen. Love you, church. For us today, go and do the same, Jesus says. Go and do the same. Number two, seer of the lost. The second promise, Luke 10. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him up, went off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, but when he saw the injured man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came up to the place and saw him, he too passed by on the other side. There was a Samaritan who was traveling, came to where the injured man was, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion for him. He went up to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring olive oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever else you spend, I will repay you when I come back through this way. Which of you of these three do you think became a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert said, the one who showed him mercy to him. So Jesus said, go and do the same. You know, the Samaritan, he alone was prepared to help. He wasn't theologically perfect, but the love of God was in his heart. You are qualified today, church. You are qualified today, church. You have the love of God that's in your heart. You are qualified for the task, for the assignment to share the goodness and the grace and the good news that is Jesus Christ, the love of God that summoned him to stop and care for that man. You know, the power of one seed is so powerful. Never underestimate, church, the power of one seed. When I was in primary school, I was friends with a girl, and I'd go over to her house after school and we'd play, and I'd always be so full of God, obviously, from being at church every week, that I would try and get her saved every single time I went for a play date. It was probably not the best play date for her, but it was great for me. And I'd always be like, you know, you have to get saved. You have to have Jesus into your heart. It's between hell and heaven. You have to. And I'd be like right up in her grill and in her face. And you think, oh, as a child, you know, there was so much passion. There was no reserve. There was so much passion. There was no reserve. There was so much passion. There was no reserve, because I was a child full of the love of God and didn't want to see my friend suffer. Didn't want to see my friend lost, because God's love is a seer of the lost. And that's what was filling my heart as a child. And every afternoon I would keep saying it. And then one day she decided to receive Jesus into her heart. And in 2012, she found me on Facebook and wrote this to me. I wanted you to know that you prayed for me when I would have been about 7 or 8 years old, and I asked Jesus into my heart. Well, I wanted you to know it's taken a while, but I gave my heart to the Lord again in 1999, and I've always remembered what you shared with me so many years ago. God obviously had a plan for me, and thank you so much for your friendship and your boldness and never stopping. It doesn't always happen straight away, but a seed was sown. I am married to a great Christian husband and have 2 beautiful daughters. Thank you for your boldness as a child, and I now work as a receptionist and an administrator at a Christian school, and I'm able to share with so many children. I'm so grateful to have God in my life. God is so good, another. Never underestimate the power of your seed. Never underestimate the power of one seed. When you don't see the instantaneous, I promise you, God is doing progressive healing in that person's life. Where you stop for the one, you'll reveal God's love to them. Go and do the same, Jesus says. Go and do the same. Thirdly, life alignment. Luke 13 says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and a woman who was there had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten herself up completely. When Jesus saw her, he called her and said, woman, you are freed from your infirmity. Imagine those words. 18 years of being bent over, not being able to straighten up, seen as a sick, unclean person because of the times of that culture. And Jesus says, woman, stand up. You are freed from your infirmity. Imagine the joy as she stood up straight for the very first time. Then he placed his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and she praised God. You know, are there areas in your life that need to come into alignment? I'm asking you to step out of the boat this morning. Because when God showed me this, I saw myself praying for you. I saw people standing. I saw people set free. I'm taking a risk just like you are today. You might see me as this strong pastor. I'm just a mum. I'm just a girl like you, taking the same risks of getting out of the boat and living this life that God's called me to you. And if you would say in this place, there are areas in my life that need to be straightened up. There are areas in my life from loved ones that I know that I need to stand in place of today. Will you stand with me in this place today? And we're going to pray for you. Areas that have been weakening you. Areas that have been causing you not to stand up straight. Patterns and struggles in your life that are not going away. I promise you, you're going to be set free today. Father, I pray, church, stand with me and pray right now. We are the church. Speak in tongues if you can, but let's start to pray with the might and the power of the Holy Spirit. We come against you, enemy, for this one purpose. The Son of God was given to destroy the works of the enemy. And we say to you, enemy, let that child of God go. Where those areas have been bent over, we declare in Jesus' name, life alignment. God, your love, put things back in right order in Jesus' name, in their minds, in their souls, in the patterns of their life. Father God, who the Son sets free, is free indeed. Let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, let it be known to their hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray freedom. And for every person in this place who wants to move in this area of God's love to straighten up disorder into right order, Father, use them powerfully, release them mightily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you believe it, church? Amen. You can take your seats. There is no time to fall asleep today. No time at all. Aren't you glad? I'm way too awake, I think. Areas in your life to come into alignment. Do we say amen? Amen. Lastly, freedom for all, Acts 16. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the rest of the prisoners were listening to them. They'd just been accused. They'd just been beaten. They'd just been thrown into jail for not doing anything wrong. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, just accused, singing hymns to God, beaten, and the rest of the prisoners were listening to them. Amazing. Suddenly, a great earthquake occurred so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. Immediately, all the doors flew open and the bonds of the prisoners came loose. You know, these accusations were made against Paul and Silas. Loss of income, but this would not be enough for those slave girl owners. So they devised a plan of accusation against them. You know, Paul and Silas could have said, we should never have started out on this journey. It's just too hard to bring the gospel to Europe. As soon as we can, we had better go out of here and go somewhere God is going to bless. God wants us to be happy. And we're not happy here sitting in these stocks being beaten. Let's find a place where we can be happy. You know, they didn't say any of these things, praise God. Instead, they spent the nice hours praying and singing praises to God. As Paul and Silas sang and praised God, the other prisoners who might have been complaining, distressed beforehand, soon became quiet. As they listened, they begin to learn something about the God who had sent Paul and Silas to their city. He was teaching them to rejoice. When accusation comes from the enemy, Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. What is your sword? What is your armor? It is singing declarations to God and worshiping Him and praising God because God is greater. Our faith isn't based on what God does. Our faith is based on who He is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done according to His will. You know, the Spirit of God in Paul revealed knowledge to him about the jailer. Did you hear me? The Spirit of God revealed to Paul about the jailer. He couldn't see him. He was in another space, but the Spirit of God revealed to Paul about the jailer. Paul shouted out, knowing the will of God, and said, don't harm yourself. Don't harm yourself. I can see that you're in a really tight position right now because if we're gone, if one of the prisoners is loosed, they're going to take your life. But don't harm yourself, he shouted out to the jailer. Don't harm yourself, for we are all here. he stopped and cried out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Go and do the same." Never underestimate the power of your praise and accusation. Never underestimate the power and the might and the strength of the Spirit of God that in you, when then you bring that word of truth, who's listening, who's watching to your very life. God wants to reveal to you for this purpose. The Son of God was revealed to destroy the works of the enemy. According to your will, Jesus, you are the healer, can we stand, of our afflictions. Do you declare that and amen that this morning? Jesus, you are the healer of our afflictions. Jesus, you see the lost, and because of this, we are found. When the enemy is attacking us with disorder, your love restores right order. Jesus, you are the freedom for all. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done according to your will in heaven. Let it be done here on earth. Father, I pray for this message. I am not going to underestimate the seed of your word, the seed of truth. Your power, your might, and your strength is going in us this day, that we believe, Father, wholeheartedly, that, Father, these promises for us in Jesus' name.